From the moment we left the airport in Tel Aviv to begin our Holy Land pilgrimage in January, the question of the land was always before us. Who owns it? Who controls it? Who lives on it now? Who lived on it 100 years ago, 1,500 years ago? And closely connected to the question of the land were other questions of human rights and well-being. Who has a safe, permanent home? Who can travel? Who has access to water, electricity, education, and health care? Who can find work, and at what wages? The most frequent response that we heard to these questions from people who live in Israel-Palestine is, it is complicated. It is complicated and impossible to fully address in a 10-minute sermon. But the answer to questions of who has universal human rights and well-being is rarely the Palestinians. The question of the land goes back thousands of years to the sacred stories of Israel's origin and God's covenant with Abram, one of those stories we heard today in the first reading. But the full story of Abram begins several chapters earlier in Genesis, when God first calls him out of his homeland and into Canaan. In the beginning, God promises Abram, I will bless you and make of you a great nation so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The story of Abram and Sarai, who later receive the names Abraham and Sarah, unfolds as they make their way as nomadic shepherds from Canaan, across Egypt, and elsewhere. And by the time we get to today's story, they're already over 70 years old. And they are wealthy, with more livestock and gold and silver and tents and tribe than they can count. Yet they still long for children, for heirs. So when God comes to Abram in a vision promising protection and reward, Abram is skeptical. What can you give me? I have no offspring. Someone else will have to stand in as my heir. It's a practical question. Family was the basic unit of society, and establishing a lineage was important for community stability. Abram needs estate planning. But there is more to Abram's question than planning for his heirs and successors. He can count his own blessings, but he does not see the legacy of blessing that extends from him to anyone else, let alone all the families of the earth. So God shows him the starry heavens and says, count the stars if you can, so shall your descendants be. Abram is likely still skeptical, but he trusts God. And God makes a second promise. To your descendants, I give all the land from the river Nile to the river Euphrates. This description is so vast. It is as if God said, they will have all the land you can imagine, or they will have all the land they need. It is a promise of safety and permanence and flourishing, a promise of blessing for all the families of the earth. On our Holy Land pilgrimage, we visited Abraham's tomb in the Cave of the Patriarchs. It's also where Sarah and Jacob and Rachel and Isaac and Leah are also buried. It's in the ancient city of Hebron. It is a sacred place for all Abrahamic faiths, Jews, Muslims, Christians, and several other traditions as well. It's an extremely tense place, too. Hebron is a Palestinian city, but with an Israeli settlement in the old part of the city and partial control by the Israeli military, there are daily opportunities for conflict. And violence and bloodshed have been happening there for millennia. In the first century, Herod the Great built a huge limestone structure over the tombs. But when the city was conquered by Christians in the Byzantine area, they converted it to a Christian basilica. And then during the Muslim conquest, it became a mosque. And then during the Crusades, a Christian site. And then in the 12th century, it became a mosque again. And in 1967, Israel took control of the site and divided the structure into a synagogue and a mosque that share a common wall and where each can separately view Abraham's tomb. The underlying narrative of this history, of course, is that God's holy ground is limited, exclusive, and must be hoarded. The bloodshed continued at Abraham's tomb. In February 1994, an American Israeli opened fire in the mosque, killing 30 people and injuring 125. That's why the window through which we viewed the tomb is bulletproof glass. And terror continues to strike holy places. Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston in 2015, 9 killed and 3 injured. The Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh last fall, 11 killed, 7 injured. And now Friday's attacks on 2 churches in Christchurch, New Zealand, 2 mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. 50 people are dead so far, and 50 injured. How long, oh God, will this go on? How long until we realize that there is no enemy out there that must be vilified and conquered to ensure our safety? Our safety comes from interdependence and connection, from really knowing our neighbor. The Palestinians we met on our pilgrimage had 3 consistent requests of us. Do not forget us. Pray for us. And tell the people back home that we are the same as you. We are not your enemy. When God made the covenant with Abraham, the ancestor of all Jews, Christians, and Muslims, our ancestor, when God made that covenant before any mention of land, God said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How long until we realize that there is no land, no blessing, no flourishing that can ever be mine only? It is always only ours, a gift from God. It is deeply wrong for Palestinians to live in the vulnerability, oppression, and fear that they do as a result of the expanding and tightening control of the Israeli authority. And it is deeply wrong that Muslims throughout the world are targets of terror and destruction because of well-armed Islamophobia. It is wrong. After the shootings in Christchurch on Friday, New Zealand's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, lamented the unprecedented violence in her country, reminding her fellow citizens that many of those affected are members of our migrant communities. New Zealand is their home. They are us. They are us too. Our Muslim neighbors, our migrant communities of any faith. We are brothers and sisters, the heirs of God's blessing meant for all the families of the earth. What we do with it and how we live together forms the legacy for those who follow. It's the legacy for our heirs. How can we trust that there is enough blessing for all of us? Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Amen.